On April 9, 2009, Algerians headed to the polls. Bouteflika was elected president for the third time. He has conquered the generals, kept the FIS from returning in any form, staved off democratic challenges from his own party and the Kabylie citizen movement, and won the right to a third or even fourth term. So writes Jacob Mundy in the Middle East Report published in Washington. He's on the line with us. Mr. Mundy, welcome to our show, and thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
You talked about the polls in Algeria, and Bouteflika was elected president for the third time. No one seemed to be surprised. Why do you think Algerians voted for him?
If we believe the figures that the Algerian government has provided, which show a pretty astounding turnout of over 70%, one would get the impression that Algeria is a very vibrant democracy. However, those figures, I think, are to be placed in some doubt, considering other polling that's gone on in the country, like the last local elections in 2007 saw less than 40% turnout, probably more indicative of where people stand in terms of their attitudes towards the democratic process, which they see as a game for politicians and not for the general public.
Mr. Mundy, in your article you talk about a generation divide in Algeria. I'd like to share this with our listeners.
Right now you could say that there are sort of three generations within the political arena. The older generation, which Bouteflika comes from, is the generation that fought in the War of Independence against France, which lasted from 1954 to 1962. Bouteflika, however, was very young during the war, and now he's over 70 years old, so he's at the trailing edge of that generation. The generation that grew up immediately after independence, which would be kind of the more dominant political party right now, such as the current Prime Minister, Ahmadou Yahia, they were sort of inculcated within the ideology of the FLN, the independence movement, and they are likely going to continue on with these political habits. The younger generation, however, and we saw this before the Civil War in the 1999s, and we see it playing out constantly in Algeria, is the younger generation tends to be very divorced from politics. They tend to feel the impact of the poor economic situation the most in terms of jobs, lack of housing, lack of resources to move for social mobility. And so polling shows that a large majority of young males would actually prefer to immigrate to Europe than to stay in Algeria.
And how did Mr. Bouteflika address this issue, the issue of immigration?
Well, he's made a lot of campaign promises, as any politician would do. However, the government has been trying to implement economic reforms, more importantly, large projects, building projects, you know, just building houses, trying to spur job creation growth. But these policies and these promises have yet to bear little actual fruit. So it remains to be seen whether or not, especially considering the price of oil has dropped and Algeria is very dependent on oil, the government is at least, whether or not these economic programs and policies will actually help address the very chronic underemployment that plagues Algeria.
Who are the current investors or the government partners for the Algerian government? I mean, Bouteflika talks about development and all those projects you mentioned.
Most of the investment in the country is targeted in the energy sector, and that's oil and natural gas, and that mostly takes place down in the Sahara, where the oil and gas fields can be found. There is some investment in Algeria from different parts of the globe, Gulf, Europe. France is still Algeria's number one trading partner, but the state is still heavily dependent upon oil, and it accounts for 99% of state revenues at this point. Investment, the Algerians really aren't very much interested in investment unless it's confined to the energy sector.
There has been little attention given to the Algerian elections in the Western media, and in general, Algeria hasn't been on the American radar lately. Why is that?
It's strange, given that the terrorism is still an issue, political violence is still an issue in Algeria, and that the United States gets a portion of its energy from Algeria. But I think, in terms of this election, it was considered an accomplished fact the day that Bouteflika announced that he would seek a third term, that he would probably get it, mostly because his political machine is considered unstoppable at this point.
He was backed by the military, as you wrote in your article. The military brought him to power in the first place. So who is backing him currently? You talked about his machine. You talked about how well-organized he is. He obtained the legality of running for a third term.
If we go back to the 1990s, when there was a civil war in Algeria, that civil war was triggered when the military overthrew the president to prevent an Islamist party from taking power. And for the better half of the 1990s, Algeria was a de facto military dictatorship. And before that, the military had exerted dominant control over the government. And so in 1999, when Algeria needed a new president following the resignation of the previous one, Bouteflika was brought forward by some generals to be their sort of facade. But what Bouteflika has managed to accomplish in the last 10 years is to actually free himself from the control of the military to establish a political machine whose primary vehicle is the FLN, the old party, the old independence movement, which is now the dominant party in Algeria. But he's also cultivated other constituencies among traditional Islamist elements, trade unionists, and other groups to have his own base of power so that when it comes time to vote in the polls, he has enough votes to counter anything that the military can put forward.
Mr. Jacob Mendy, let's look now at the social aspect in Algeria. How would Algeria compare with Morocco, where we know there are now a vibrant civil movement, or Tunisia, where the economy is progressing? Where does Algeria stand?
Algeria has an amazing tradition of secularism, a lot of it owing to immediate independence days as a leading figure in the non-aligned third world movement. That secular, vibrant civil society tradition is still very visible in Algeria. So the press in Algeria is amazingly critical of the government. I mean, there are red lines, and the media will observe certain red lines, whether it's the military or other issues. But in comparison to, let's say, press freedom in Tunisia or Morocco, the Algerian press is rather astounding in its audacity.
In recent 3 years, at least, when we talk or when we see Algeria mentioned in the media, it's violence, it's those Islamists that we see, it's a woman wearing veils. So what you're saying is really a revelation. I'd like you to share more with our listeners what you find.
I will say that, yeah, there's a strong secular tradition in Algeria, but there's also a deep desire among many people for a return to traditional Islamic values. That was definitely revealed in the large numbers that supported the Islamic Salvation Front during the local elections in 1990 and then the national elections in 1991, which were canceled by the military, thus precipitating the civil war. So Algeria is not, a blanket secular socialist country. It's actually a very multifaceted, very nuanced country. I see it's an amazing disparity between, average citizens are actually very politically savvy, very aware of what's going on, but they just don't feel that they can affect political processes.
There is also a non-speaking Arabic minority, the Amazigh, who are seeking that their language and culture be recognized. Please give us an update on this issue.
We're very close to the anniversary. It will be 8 years now since very large demonstrations erupted in the Kabylie region, which is dominated by these Amazigh or Hamazigh-speaking Berbers. What happened then was that the gendarmerie shot a youth, which precipitated an astounding series of demonstrations, large amounts of violence, but also one of the most interesting democratic movements to just spontaneously erupt in the Middle East. However, because of the resources that the state has, it's been able to sort of water down the demands of what was called the citizens' movement. The demands have been watered down. The government has stalled. They've met some of the demands, which were cultural in terms of recognizing the Tamazight language as an official national language. But for the most part, the state has won, and that was one of the sort of victories that Bouteflika had, is that he has defended himself from these sort of democratic challenges.
And what do you see in the cards for the future, the near future at least?
I think the primary question will be, Bouteflika is old, so what happens if he dies? The day after he dies, who takes over, who takes power? And there isn't a clear line of succession here. Everyone knows that the military is the only force capable of exerting power nationwide, but there's still a very strong Islamist movement, since gone underground politically, in terms of its thinking, in terms of how it's going to manifest itself in the future. I think there's no clearer indication of this than the fact that the government still does not allow the FIS or any of its offshoots, you know, say the Wafa party, from running an election. So obviously the government has something to be feared there. There's a lot of questions regarding, you know, what happens next in Algeria.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jacob Mandé. This is all our time, the time we have for this interview. We were talking to Jacob Mandé, doctoral candidate at the Institute of Arabic and Islamic Studies at the University of Exeter.